This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, we're still on the Mishnah. Kol she ma'isav merube mechachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. Whoever's deeds exceed his wisdom, so the wisdom will remain and persevere. And kol she chachmaso merube mechachmaso, he knows more than he does, so his wisdom will not remain. Okay. We've said quite a few different ways of understanding that. I want to say one more today, and hopefully we'll finish this Mishnah today and leave time for something to do with the Sedrin. Okay. Some say that what this Mishnah means is the following. There are two kinds of mitzvahs. There's what the Rambam calls mitzvos sichlios, rational mitzvahs, like murder, theft. Those are things that the whole world understands, right? Not to murder, not to steal. They're rational mitzvahs that the Torah gave. And then there are mitzvos shamios, mitzvahs that if we wouldn't have been told them, we wouldn't come to them on our own. Things that are beyond rationale. They're not irrational. They're super rational. They're more than rational. Right? Like not eating chazer is not a rational thing. Right? There are plenty of goyim in this world that pay plenty for a good pork meal. There's no rational reason why to do it. It's a chok, basically. The And there's a difference between the two, the Rambam says. The Rambam says that when it comes to rational mitzvahs, the Torah wants you to develop a character, personality, behavior that's in keeping with that. In other words, even though by the supra-rational mitzvahs, like not eating chazer, the Torah, a person should say, I would love to eat chazer, but what can I do? God said I can't do it. There's no reason that you should have an aversion, right, rationally to eating chazer. It's just that the reason that you have an aversion is because God said not to do it. But a person shouldn't get up in the morning and say, I'd love to kill somebody today, but what can I do? God said you can't do it. I'd love to rob a bank, but what can you do? God said not to do it. There, God wants you to develop a behavior and character that you wouldn't want to do these things because they're rational things. Okay. The truth is that it's not exactly the way that I just presented it. Because in the end, a person should have an aversion to eating chazer. It should be something that disgusts him. But that's not the reason he doesn't eat it. The reason he has an aversion is because the Torah said it's prohibited, not because there's something intrinsically wrong with chazer. And the other way is also true. Every rational mitzvah, I heard this from Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, a drosh I once heard from him, at an RCA, not convention, they had something in the summer in the mountains. My wife comes from Ellenville, so they had something in the Pioneer, and I went to hear him. It was unbelievable. It's the only time I really heard him speak. And he spoke for 3 hours, and I thought it was 15 minutes. Wow. Right? I speak for 15 minutes. People think it's 3 hours. But he spoke for 3 hours, and it went by like it was unbelievable. Very, very... unfortunately, I think a lot of the other rabbis who were there, I was a young guy, but there were a lot of older rabbis there. Today I can commiserate with them. And they were asleep. So he said in this drasha, he said even the rational mitzvahs are only rational in the black and white areas of them. But in the gray areas, they're also chukim. They're also super rational. Meaning the following. Give an example. Murder, right? To go out and kill somebody because you don't like them, the whole world understands that's wrong. But how about euthanasia? not young people in Asia, but mercy killing, right? Mercy killing. Is that rational? No. Somebody's, 119 years old. They're suffering terribly. They ask you to put them out of their misery by giving them some extra painkillers. Can you say rationally that it's wrong to do? No. Is it wrong? Is it murder? Yes. So it's not that gray area of murder. Abortion. I would never want to debate a pro-abortionist, right, from a purely rational standpoint, because there's plenty of rational arguments that rational people make. Right? It's a woman's body. It's not really a viable life, whatever it may be. Is it considered borderline murder? Yeah. Or other things? Is it prohibited? Yeah. Right, under certain circumstances, yeah, if we're not Catholic. But under normal stam, to get rid of a baby because the mother wants to have an easier life, that's for sure not allowed. So is it rational? Not necessarily. Those are the gray areas of murder. So every, even rational mitzvah, has areas that are not necessarily rational or based on rationale. So the truth is that when it comes to the super-rational mitzvahs like chazer, ultimately a person should condition himself that if God said you shouldn't do it, then there obviously is something wrong with it. Not that the chazer intrinsically is disgusting. No. Why would there, are there goyim that eat it and relish it? But now that God said it's prohibited, it's disgusting to me to do something that God doesn't want me to do. So in the end, yes, it could be that eating chazer is something that I have an aversion to, but not intrinsically, because it's prohibited. And the same thing goes on the other side, right? Murder, right? The black and white areas, I have to develop a character that would not want to murder rationally. But there are areas of murder, like we said, that are beyond rationale. In those, I have to say that if it wouldn't be for the Torah prohibiting it, I would probably say that mercy killing or abortion is fine. But now the Torah prohibited it, I have an aversion to it. So there is an overlay between these two areas of mitzvahs. The idea of accepting mitzvahs, even if you don't understand them, is the concept of Nasa V'Nishma. We'll do, and then we'll hear. Meaning, there is a mitzvah to try to understand every mitzvah. But that can't be the prerequisite for doing it. It's not that I do it because I understand it. And if I don't understand, I won't do it. First, I accept that God said to do or not to do, and I do it because God said. Now I'd like to understand as much as I can. But the understanding is not a prerequisite for doing the mitzvah. That is Nasa V'Nishma. And therefore, if the understanding is a prerequisite for accepting and doing that mitzvah, then it's not really a mitzvah anymore. You're not doing what God said. You're doing what you want. So a person can do 612 mitzvahs, but if one of them he says, I don't accept that because I don't understand it, then he really doesn't accept the Torah at all. The other 612 he's doing because he understands them. So he's basically doing what he wants, not what God said. And therefore there's a special curse and blessing for someone who refuses to accept the yoke of Torah, even if he keeps 612 mitzvahs. And someone who accepts that yoke, but because he's a weak-charactered person, transgresses a lot of things, is better off than the person who keeps 612, but only doesn't because he understands them and not because he accepts the yoke of what God told him. That explains a Rashi, a Gemara really, but Rashi brings it down, on the Akedah. Okay, God tested Avraham Avinu with many tests. And by the Akedah it says, Kach Noah, please do this. So the Gemara says, and Rashi brings it down, that God pleaded with Avram, please pass this test. Because if you don't pass this test, people are going to say the first nine were meaningless. They had nothing to them. Now, on the surface, it doesn't make sense. If a person has 10 tests to do, and each one is harder than the one before, okay, and he passes nine of them, but he can't pass the hardest one. So what are people going to say? The first ones were meaningless? No. He could pass up till the 10th. He couldn't do the hardest one. But that doesn't mean that the other ones were nothing. They were something. He just couldn't pass that last difficult test. But the way I understand it is, the first nine Avram could have done because he understood, made sense to him. The 10th one made absolutely no sense. He'd have to accept that even though rationally there's no way that he can come to terms with killing his son, but if that's what God wants and he's a prophet and he knows that God said to do it, then he has to accept it, even though he doesn't understand it. He's basically bowing and acquiescing to God's will. Now, if he didn't pass that one, then people would say, you know what, you didn't pass the first nine tests. You did it because it made sense to you. But you didn't do it because God told you to do it. Because when something doesn't make sense to you, and you'd have to do it only because God said, you don't do it. That's why it would make the first nine irrelevant. So, therefore, every mitzvah, even a chok, has ideas behind it. And every mitzvah that's rational has parts of it that are beyond rationale, like we said. So what's the difference between a chok and a mishpat? Usually we say the chok is something beyond rationale, and there's no reason that we can understand. And the mishpat is mitzvahs like murder, theft, that are rational, that have reason. But it's not 100% like that. The difference between them is only a chok. Most of it is beyond rationale. But there are ideas behind the chok. Paraduma, there are ideas behind the concept of paraduma, what it represents, whatever. But ultimately, right, it's more something beyond rationale. How you can take a red cow and burn it and take away tuma is all beyond our rationale. But there are ideas that you can learn from it. And the other hand, murder basically is understandable, but there are areas of it that are beyond rationale. So a mishpat is mostly rational, but there are parts of it that are beyond rationale. A chok is mostly beyond rationale, but there are parts of it that are rational that you can explain. But this concept of tameh hamitzvah is not reasons for mitzvahs. We never understand the reason for a mitzvah. Because the reasons, a reason is a siba in Hebrew. Siba comes from the word sov, the sovev, as cause and effect. Right, when you have a siba, it's a cause. A cause is like a circle. This causes that. It's a circular kind of reasoning. So we don't know the cause of mitzvahs. Because people who think they know the cause leads them to believe that if the cause doesn't apply today, it doesn't. Right? People say, well, I know why the Torah prohibited pork. Because of trichinosis, it's not healthy or whatever. But today, where the conditions are fine and it can be healthy, so there's nothing wrong with eating pork. That's absurd. You made up the reason, and according to the reason, Torah didn't say that reason. You made up the reason, and according to the reason you made up, it doesn't apply today. But maybe God had a million other reasons why it's prohibited. Nothing to do with trichinosis. So there's no reasons for mitzvahs. There's a Gemara that says the following. Why didn't God reveal tameh hamitzvah, the ideas behind mitzvahs? Why didn't he tell us each one, like the Sefer HaChinuch says? And this is the idea behind this mitzvah. Why didn't God do it? Why didn't he tell us in the Torah every time he gave us a mitzvah? And by the way, this is the idea behind it. Because two mitzvahs, he did tell us the idea. And one of the greatest people who ever lived stumbled because of that. Shlomo HaMelech. God said a king shouldn't have more wives than 18, too many wives, and he shouldn't have too many horses. And the Torah said the reason behind it. Too many wives because they will influence his heart, and a king has to be able to be objective. He can't be pulled from 18 different directions or 19 different directions by his wives. And he can't have too many horses because it'll bring him back to Egypt and become rely on Egypt. And Egypt was a place of depravity, and it'll bring the people back to Egypt. We got out of Egypt. We don't have to go back there for horses. Egypt was the source of horses. So Shlomo HaMelech said, I'm beyond that. I can have as many wives, I have 1,000 wives, and they won't influence me. And I can have as many horses, and it's not going to bring me back to Egypt. I can have as much money, and it's not going to make me haughty. And at the end of his life, it says that his wives influenced him for the bad. So Shlomo HaMelech then said, Omarti Echema, I thought I knew what the Torah meant, and I see that's far from me. I thought I understood the Torah, and I didn't. So it says in the time that Shlomo said, I will have as many wives as I want, and it won't affect me negatively. The yud from the word lo yarbe went before God and said, Shlomo HaMelech is nullifying me. So God said, 1,000 like him will be nullified, and one corner of your yud is never going to be nullified. So the question is, first of all, why the yud? How about the whole world? Every time somebody commits a sin, the words go to God and complain? Why over here and why the yud? And secondly, Shlomo HaMelech didn't make a mistake in the Torah. The Torah said well, the reason why you can't have too many wives. He made a mistake in Shlomo HaMelech. He overrated and overestimated his power. So why did he say, I thought I knew the Torah, but I made a mistake. It's far from me. He should have said, I thought I knew Shlomo. The Torah he knew. The answer is that when the Torah gave those ideas, they weren't reasons for the mitzvah. They were tastes. The idea being the following. If someone were to ask you, why do we eat bread, right? And we don't eat, why do we eat bread? The answer is because that's how God made the world. And he made our digestive system be able to digest bread and because of that give nurturing to the body, nutrition to the body, and rocks don't do that. That's the reason. The reason is that's the way God made the world. I don't know why he could have made it that we eat rocks, gain a lot more weight that way, right? Faster, right? Or he could have made it that we have to get, intravenous to survive. Why he did it like that is beyond, no scientist can explain why it's like that. What can they explain? How it works. What happens? But why it couldn't be different? Nobody can explain that. That's in God's mind, why he made it like that. So the reason is because that's the way God made the world. But once he made it like that, he wants us to enjoy it too. So he made the food tasty. It has a taste, it has a color, it has an aroma, which makes it palatable to us. Same thing with mitzvahs. What is the reason why we do this mitzvah? Because God said to do it. Because that's the way God knows that our neshamas are affected by it. Why did he say tefillin should be black and put it on your head and your arm, not around your knee? And shouldn't be paisley? Because that's why it works like that. Right? But is there an idea behind it that we can understand? Yeah. But that's only the taste. It's not the reason. We never speak of reasons for mitzvahs. The reason is because God determined that's what our neshamas need. The taste is what we can make it palatable to us. So Shlomo HaMelech thought that those two ideas were the reason why God prohibited the too many wives. He said, if that's the case, it doesn't apply to me. So if the reason doesn't apply and that's the cause for then I can do what I want. But his mistake was in the Torah. That wasn't the reason. That was an idea behind it. That was a taste. The reasons in God's mind could be a million different reasons beyond our comprehension. And that's why the Yud went. The Yud, it's not, if it wouldn't be lo yarbe, then it would be just advice. God would say, no, it's not a good thing to do. And this is the reason. But when the Torah made it a command, then the command is irrespective of the idea. God said, you can't do that, period. And now he gave you an idea behind it. That's just a taste. So his mistake was in that yod, taking the yod away. Because without the yod, it's just good advice. It's not a command. So therefore, the Mishnah says, a person who only does what he knows, what he understands, so his deeds don't do more than his wisdom. What I understand, I do. So his wisdom and his deeds are equal. But he can never do more than he knows, because he won't do things that he doesn't know, that he doesn't understand. So a person whose deeds exceed his wisdom, meaning he will do not only the mitzvahs he understands, but even the mitzvahs that are beyond understanding, so his deeds are more than he knows. His wisdom will remain. But somebody who only does what he understands, so his deeds will never exceed his wisdom won't remain. That's another way of understanding this Mishnah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.